the Great Commission and help us understand once again what Jesus meant by it. And then it's not going to be a preaching, but just to help us really understand where we, the world stands mission-wise. And since this church is really very high on missions, and I'm very high on missions, I've been in ministry, actually in missions since 1972. In 1971, I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior from a Hindu background originally. And the Lord chose me, and then I went on OM team, Operation Mobilization. And then ever since, I have stayed in missions. My wife and I served as missionaries in the Indian Ocean as well, in Seychelles Islands, which is roughly about 1,000 miles east of Mombasa, Kenya, about 4,000 miles south east of Bombay, India. It's a tiny dot in the ocean. When the plane actually landed, we were just looking at the little strip. And so I said, are we going to land right? Okay. It's such a tiny island. But we had the opportunity of serving as I was the news anchor from the station, Far East Broadcasting Company, in that area. And we were broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ on this shortwave radio station, starting from Bangladesh, every half an hour, covering all of Africa in 36 different languages from that little station. And I was there when Senior Bush announced the Gulf War, and I was running from the teleprinter to the microphone giving the latest news update. So it was a very different kind of thing. When I was there, one of the things that happened to me, I visited a house there. My friend took me to his house and wanted to feed me with Seychelles food, which is pretty much like Indian food somewhat, you know, some spices in here, Indian spices and all. So I really had enough of it. And his mother, who didn't know any English, either French or Creole, that's all she knew, and I didn't know any of them. I was just in the process of learning some of these languages. So she kept on pouring more and more rice, and take more. And I said, oh, no, I'm full. I tried to explain it to her in English. And that really didn't work. She kept on pouring more. So I tried to use my French, because that was what was closest I knew. So I said, flour. And she laughed at me and looked at her son, and he laughed at me. So I said, what did I say just now? He said, you just said you are pregnant. I said, that's not what I meant to say. I wanted to say I'm full. He said, no, you should have said plan. So I said, what's the difference between plan and pla? I mean, it's a slight difference. He said, one means full, another means pregnant. And so my brothers have tried to explain to you, and I have tried to explain to you in Indian American, whatever you may want to call that dialect. And if you didn't get it, I apologize for that, but we are definitely not from around here. English is our second language, and I'm still learning. Hopefully one day I'll get it. Why do they say 202 and do or do and still N O no? It's not N O no. So I'm still struggling with that. Back to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, and I have the slide presentation here, so just to help us a little bit with the world missions. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, which reads, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Great Commission is very dear and near to God's heart. Right from the very beginning, he has had great commission in his mind. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go and read there. But when God was talking to the serpent, and he said, I will create this enmity between you and your seed and her seed, in order to bring that victory over sin and bring all people into his kingdom. That's what God promised. And in Genesis 12, verse 2, as well, when he was promising to Abraham, he said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. That's what he was talking about. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, Paul explains that promise to Abraham, and he says, everybody and anybody who believes in Christ is part of that big promise and is part of that family of God. So it's not just Israel, but everybody. There is no difference in Jew and Gentile, but all of them are sinners, and God wants all sinners everywhere saved. Whether that be right here next door, or that be in India or elsewhere in the world. However, when it comes to Great Commission, we just want to be part of that, but this little slide presentation will help us really understand a little bit more in great depth. So I'm going to get started with that. It'll take only a few minutes and then we'll be done. And if Pastor feels like having maybe question and answer a little bit of that, if there is time, then we might do that for 5 minutes or so. Many a times we forget that we actually live in this world. My battery is a little bit down, so let me get the other one out. This little world, of course, that's the Great Commission that talks about. And we totally forget that we actually live in an Asian world. 61% of the population lives in Asia. That is most of the people. So you find every fifth person in the world, every sixth person in the world is an Indian. Every sixth person in the world is a Chinese. In Chicago, we lived for 15 years, and my daughter went to UIC, Chicago in UIC, University of Illinois. And that was also known, actually, nickname was University of Chinese and Indians in Chicago. So that's what they call it. So North America is 5%, Latin America 8%, and so on and so forth. And look at this, 0.5%. That's where our daughter lives, right here in New Zealand. So that's US, that's where I am. Okay. 1040 window, many of us may be aware of that window. Some time ago, the evangelical organizations came together and they said, we need to find out where most of the unreached people's groups live. And they studied all the world and came up with this little window, which is Seychelles is right here, and that's where we were missionaries. So it's 10 degrees above the equator to 40 degrees above the equator, and they drew this little ribbon covering the nations that were still very much in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this one has one Hindu nation, actually 44 Muslim countries. 44 Muslim countries are still unreached. Two Hindu nations, eight Buddhist nations, and two non-religious groups. When it comes to missions, really, how it's differently done, this is what this chart shows. Actually, I did this study when I was the director of missions at Brown Prague Community Church, and to help me understand and educate the congregation as well. So when you look at the Muslim population, it's 1.2 or more billion people. Then the Hindus, Chinese, Buddhists, and other tribal groups. And Westerners are unreached. Among the Westerners are only about 100 million or so in North American and European countries. But when you look at the missionaries working in each of these groups, among the Westerners is the most number of missionaries, and so on and so forth, Buddhists that way. So it's a very different kind of uneven distribution of missionaries in the needy areas. 95% of the graduates in US and Canada, they stay home. There are several reasons, very good reasons, but only very few, 5% of the total pastors and evangelists and missionaries that are prepared here in the North American countries, they go to serve the Lord outside. And there is a church for every 537 people in North America. So there are a lot of churches, of course, again. Same thing explained in a different way. More missionaries working among Christians, very few working among the Muslims, which is the most unreached people's groups. So that same thing talks about that. Tribal group is pretty high, and one of the reasons why it's pretty high is we Americans, I call American because I'm a US citizen. So we Americans think of, sometimes in a corporate world, even the churches think in a corporate world worldview. So we want to spend our dollar where we can get the most out of our dollar. When it goes to the tribal area, if the tribal head becomes Christian, the whole village becomes Christian. And so it's very nice for me to think, oh, I gave to the tribal, so I need to give more to the tribal area. So more and more mission agencies have been focusing their attention to that particular group because it's very good for, I'm sorry to say that, but that's the fact of life, good for reports and good to get back to the churches and say, look, your dollars are really being used. But when it comes to Muslim countries, it's very tough. 20 years a missionary couple may spend in a Muslim country and still may not see a fruit. Why do we need to keep these people? We have been spending thousands and thousands of dollars a year, and that's the mentality. So they end up pulling their missionaries. So that's one of the reasons as well. Money does matter in missions when it comes to money. $330 billion are raised in the United States and Canada for missions. 93% of that goes into domestic projects, which is like $310 billion, and about 6% to regular missions right here in North America, which would include the parachurch organizations, ministries, things like that. And 0.1% goes to missions throughout the world, where 60% or more people live. And then that still is a lot of money, it seems, but compared to the amount of money that is needed, it's not enough. Same thing explained in a different way in a chart. So when it comes to world giving, Americans are still way ahead of them. $2.75 a week per member, church member for world missions. When it comes to the rest of the world, they are only 15 cents because they don't have that much of money. But that's roughly the idea to. So I decided to study my own church because I was the director of missions, and I said, let me see if I can really understand where most of our money is going. So of the $500,000 that we had, not as much as this church has, but actually it was like 45% of the total money that was going to the missions right here at home in the US. The church's vision is really to reach the unreached peoples of the world, but they really didn't realize what they were giving their money for. And so without very much prayer and that kind of a thing, they started supporting. So I met with my elder, I met with my chairman, I met with the committee, and I said, okay, let's talk about it. And they said, well, not really, it's not really 45%. So I said, okay, you help me understand. So we came down to, I said, okay, well, if somebody is living here in the US, somehow they are connected to the unreached people's groups. Of course, they are part of that. So we came up with that. And yet, 38% of the total money still goes within the Christian community right here in the US. Rochester, that has the population of about 300,000. All of Monroe County is about 700,000 people. And that receives almost like $70,000. And look at the population, 61% of world population, that's only $47,000 or $48,000 altogether. And Europe and other places as well. So just to help us understand, when it comes to reaching the world for Jesus Christ, this is what missions are really all about. When Jesus comes into, Bible does not talk about the number of Christians that will be in heaven. It talks about the ethnic groups, people from all nations, and all nations have not yet been reached. By God's grace, there are all nations coming to the U.S., and there are ministries that are reaching those all nations right here at home in the U.S., which is a good news. I am part of an international fellowship in Rochester where we conduct coffee houses and special occasions like Christmas and Thanksgiving, 4th of July and 15th of August, which is India's Independence Day, special programs for international students, particularly from India, China, and other places from at the university there. And we try to reach them, and several of them have come to know Christ, but it's not enough. But there are other groups also. So God has given us people right here in our neighborhood as well. Maybe at your work you have somebody from India, maybe your doctor is an Indian, I don't know. There are so many of those out there in right here in the US. Maybe you have a computer guy who works for your company is from India, or from China or from wherever. God has given us that mission field right here, and we need to make use of that because it's a command. A lot of the times we don't think. We just take it as a, okay, it's in the Bible. I know it's something Jesus said. Some of us, sometimes we take it more seriously, but then we perhaps forget it. You know, when the President of the United States gives the command to the armed forces, what does he expect them to do? Anybody? Obey? What if I die, Mr. President? Well, so be it. You are going there. If you don't die there, you'll probably die here. We will make sure that you die because there will be a court martial for you for disobeying the orders. When Jesus gave Great Commission, he did not give his disciples a suggestion. He didn't say, if you find time, go and do this. He didn't say, okay, Peter, it's just for you and not for Andrew, not for John, not for any other disciples, but he gave it to all of them. And we are all his disciples because we confess Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and our Savior. In 1971, I accepted Christ. I was a very bad man before that. I used to carry about this big knife in my pocket. It wasn't a big pocket, but I did carry the knife. And at times, some cops even would change their direction when they came to know Gulshan was in the area. I don't say this with great pride, but I was a very bad man. And I had tremendous bad temper. But he had compassion on me. And he saved me. And it became my responsibility to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people who are still dying without him. That could be next door neighbor. It could be somebody in your family. It could be somebody at work. And of course, there are so many people around the world who still have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. A little story comes to my mind, and I usually share this, and that has been a challenge for me for more than 25 years when I was with Far East Broadcasting Associates, this missionary radio agency. I was visiting my director and his wife. They invited us to dinner. And when I was sitting there, I saw these so many dogs out in their porch, front porch. And so all the dogs, like six or seven of them, two of them are actually theirs, and then six or seven others with those dogs. All of them had bandages or your broken leg or something, limping. It just couldn't hold my breath. And I said to Mrs. John, I said, why are these dogs here with the same similar kind of situation? You know, all of them are, repaired feet or something like that. She said, well, one day I was grocery shopping and this one actually came to me, ow, 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 and needed my attention, a limping leg, so I had compassion means, not compassion, but I had pity on him and I put him in my car, brought him home. She was a doctor, so she treated him, started feeding him five-star food at the house. And so this guy gets some strength, goes into the market, finds another dog with a similar problem. Can you believe this? So they had two dogs the following day. Now, she treated him as well, so those two treated dogs, they go in two different directions, found two more dogs with a similar problem. In India, you can find so many of those dogs, stray dogs, And so that's how I ended up having all these dogs. And they enjoy it here, but when they get here, maybe they'll go out. But something that stayed with me all these years was, if a dog knows how to lead another dog to the place of healing and a place where he can be fed, how much more as Christians, when we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, ought to have compassion for those who can find peace, rest, and comfort in the one who died for them. And that's what Great Commission is all about. It's very good and very important that we pray for missionaries. It's very good and very important that we support them. And it's very good and very very important that we care for them. But more than that, if we do not have that heart for the souls next door or wherever we are not really fulfilling the Great Commission. We need to be involved in that. And that's what my compassion is, really. Passion is that people throughout the world, wherever I go, and I have really, by God's grace, traveled extensively, and I've taught missions. And this is my passion. The people of God will wake up, will be more in tune with the Great Commission, and reach the lost for Christ. Let's pray. Our loving Father,